Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, this is Mary Lurson. I'm the Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, and welcome to this episode of Talking Up Music Education. We're also coming to you today from Summer NAMM here in Nashville, Tennessee. So wonderful to have you join us. So I'm just thrilled to have with me, I already feel younger sitting next to you, the powerhouse duo Town, and this is Stevie Steves and John Decius. Welcome to
Talking Up Music Education.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
The energy has just walked into the room and we all just started levitating. So we just really love it. So we're going to talk all about what you're doing and all the cool things that are happening in your musical lives. But I want to get you in the time machine a little bit and talk about how it all started when you were just kids like 2 or 3 years ago. So we know that you're youngins and got great aspirations and futures, but it all started somewhere, it was maybe not as long ago as when I started it all. But tell me, what happened in school?
You know, I talk about this a lot, but I was really fortunate. I came from a really small town in Pennsylvania called Blairsville. And shockingly, we had somewhat of a music program. So that was good. But I had no idea that that was going to be part of my life. I was really, really shy. I know. I say that. People are like, you are so poor.
She had bigger glasses than I have on right now.
I was so shy. I used to hide behind my mother's legs when I was little. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't know how to. I just always kind of felt uncomfortable. I was not outgoing, but I did have the outlet at school to kind of adventure through singing and what that's like. And I was just really, really lucky because I had a teacher in middle school who heard me sing at a talent show. And he was like, you're really, really good. And I think you really need to audition for musicals. And I would be really thrilled if you did that. And so shout out to Mr. Thorne, who was with me all through middle school and high school and, got me to break out of my shell. We didn't have a lot of money in my school, but he pushed for it. He wanted the best for us. So that's kind of where it really started for me.
You had an opportunity. Mm-hmm. You had a talent.
Yeah.
It was recognized.
Yeah, thankfully,
And someone who stood with you mm-hmm. and just said, I think, the minute you said you should really try out for musicals, mm-hmm. your whole demeanor just like shot up and became like, obviously it just, something just flowed through you that this was something you needed to be doing.
I always wanted to. I used to watch, my sister, she's a year older than me, and so she got to audition for the musicals a year before me. But I had my aunt Andrea, who's 10 years older than me, who even when I was 6, 7, 8 years old, I used to go watch her perform, and she was on stage and singing and in choir. And I was like, this little person inside of me was like, I could do that. I hope someday I can do that. And thankfully, with the teachers that we had that were so passionate about giving us that opportunity, who fought every bit of the way. But I found somewhere to open up and something to look forward to,
Well, you said it was a small town. It was an undersourced school district. It didn't have anything, but there it was.
Yeah.
And the essential elements were there, mm-hmm. which was a talented teacher mm-hmm. who would recognize students who had a passion and a gift, and he stayed with them, and here you are.
Yeah.
And our podcast and our work at the NAMM Foundation is all about making sure that every child has that opportunity. Now, yeah. they may not end up in Nashville with a music career that you're pursuing, but it's still in them in some way, and that it's something that needs to be recognized and nurtured. So.
Yeah. I mean, he was incredible.
Valuable
to he hear. Took buses of, I mean, he was like, so we're going to have this fundraiser, and I really want you guys to go to New York City, and I want you to watch Beauty and the Beast on Broadway. I want you to have that experience. And he did.
So he did all
he
this,
took middle schoolers yeah. and high schoolers in two big tour buses from Pennsylvania, and we traveled all day up to New York, and we all, I think we got hotel rooms, and then, you know, he was like, I want you to dress properly. I want this to be an experience for you. And we went to New York 1 year, and then 1 year we actually went to Canada. We went to Toronto to see The Lion King. Mm-hmm. And it just like, I mean, I just cried and said, this is like, there's nothing you can't do. And I think that's what he was telling all of us all the time, was that there's nothing, like, yeah, we're from a small town, but nothing is going to stop me from putting you guys on the road. And I want you to experience this, because this is attainable. Like, this is something that you can do. This is something that you can go after mm-hmm. if it's in your heart, you know? So,
and I think it's lucky. In the heart of so many kids. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Every
oh,
child, yeah. really. Yeah. yeah. John, how about you? What was your journey?
You know, mine was a little bit different than Stevie's. I was too, and from a very small town in Kentucky, which they're all small towns in Kentucky. They're except Lexington, I guess, maybe Louisville, but very, very, very rural. And I started playing the recorder, I guess, in third grade. And I was
that's
in a couple.
About when you played
yeah,
the recorder.
Yeah, and
right?
so I was in a couple of plays there, and just I guess I just wound up kind of being naturally good at all of them, and I didn't know why or anything.
Because you're not going to know when you're in
yeah,
third
yeah.
grade.
You just have no idea. It was
you just get to do what you get to do, and yeah. if it's there, you do it, and if you're good at it, you do it more.
Right. And right. so I'd done that, and then my mom was in college. And so she went to the University of Kentucky. So we moved to Lexington for 4 years, and that was huge. I went to this great school, it was a little magnet school called Julia R. Ewing, and we had this wonderful teacher. I can't remember her last name, but her first name was Mary Jane, and she had the biggest red hair on top of her head.
And you were little then, so it was probably even bigger.
Yeah. Oh, and she was amazing. And I'll never forget. Yeah. So she was the choir teacher, but she was very passionate. And, but they had orchestra in elementary school in Lexington, which just blew my mind. You know, I come from this very small town where that's not even a thing.
Yeah,
and so,
cool.
yeah. So I was able to play cello in fourth grade, and all these people from these other magnet schools were coming, and like, oh my goodness, would you consider coming here? They actually recruited elementary schoolers back then. Maybe they still do. I don't know.
They do actually.
They
gratefully,
do.
And it's a you know standard, fairly standard part of a really good music curriculum.
Sure, sure.
You know,
and but it was kind of the same thing with the cello. It kind of came very naturally, very easily. And so I didn't really appreciate it. I was like, oh, that's cool, whatever. And so, but the next year I was able to be in the band and I played trumpet, and the same thing kind of happened with that. I was like, I just was naturally able to do it, I guess. And so I didn't really maybe appreciate it, but what I'll never forget was Mary Jane Parker. Parker was her last name. Miss Mary Jane Parker.
Yay!
And, so we had choir, and I was always really shy about singing. I was always in the choir, but never wanting to maybe step forward as a soloist or anything. And I'll never forget, we had, do you know who Carl Orff is?
Oh,
who invented the Orff instruments?
Right.
Okay.
Orff,
yeah. So this was my fifth grade. I don't even know where to start. Okay. So we had this one Christmas program, and me and my friend, Josh Brown was his name. We were kind of joking around about maybe auditioning. We were kind of making a joke out of the soloist part, you know, the singing part. And so we kind of jokingly went up to the front of the room and auditioned. And you know, they kept having cuts and I kept being there. And sure enough, I wound up winning the, you know, the solo, the falsetto, whatever part. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I did that too. And then, so the same kind of deal happened with the Carl Orff thing. We had auditions and
this is the mat you're playing, the little xylophone.
Yes.
All and the so instruments, all the ostinati.
Yes.
And
so after the confidence I had gotten from just kind of joking off and auditioning for that solo part, I was like, well, maybe I'll just kind of joke off and try out for this thing too, you know? And sure enough, I was accepted and got to perform at the University of Kentucky Theater. I can't remember what it was called, but it was a big deal because it was on KET, right? Which was our PBS up in Kentucky.
You were on TV.
I know.
Doing Orff instruments.
I know. Yeah.
Big time.
I wish I could have a recording of that.
I think it exists. I think my mom's
deep,
got it. Yeah.
Calling your mother right after this.
My mom's got it. And so, but it was the amount of confidence that it built for me that I never got in a geography class or any other classes. It was something that I never found anywhere else. It was all about confidence and obviously the music side of it too, which I didn't know existed until I did.
Well, you know, you are close in age to those experiences relative to someone like myself. I mean, I'm farther away in age from those experiences. But we've also, through our research, we've looked at this very, very closely. You know, what's going on in a third grader, and a fourth grader, and a fifth grader, and a sixth grader, and a seventh. Mm-hmm. And it's talk about, it's really validation.
Mm-hmm.
You have this, we're wired to do this through our neural networks and our psychology and our genetics. We're wired to do it. We have the opportunity to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The feedback loops get started.
Right.
That you want to keep doing it, like you just described.
Yeah.
Well, I did good in that audition. I think
I'll do another one.
You know?
Yeah.
Sure. And then the feedback, and then the competency keeps growing because you just, right?
Yeah.
Am I describing it?
Oh, no. That's exactly what happens.
It's a domino.
And you're still only 14 years old.
Yeah.
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 But you're already in this affirmation loop and competency loop, and you're expanding, you're trying things that are harder,
right? Mm-hmm.
And you're
right.
Doing more, and you keep reaching.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you were really inspired by geometry, you probably would do that too.
Absolutely.
But it's just, you know, or athletics, and we know the athletics.
Sure.
So we've, again, you know, kind of validating your experience to the things that have been studied and why collectively we want every kid to have this chance.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter where you are sitting in life, in whatever kind of community or school, if there's a music room, a music teacher, and they all kind of have that passion.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? I mean,
absolutely.
They're kind of, you don't do music because you're going, let's just kind of.
Right? I will say one thing just about my hometown that I wasn't able to get back to because I never went back to school there. But my mom went to school there, and I have tons of friends that did. Wayne County, Kentucky, has one of the best bands in the nation. And it
really?
It's nationally recognized.
Oh, as, I didn't know.
So it was just a passionate band director that my mom had, and he only retired a couple of years ago, but now his son took it over.
And as a shout out from us, all of us here at NAM and NAM Foundation, to all those communities that hire good teachers and hang with them and stand with them and provide through thick and through thin and good times and bad times in communities. And allow these pros. I was a kid who came from the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and there was this opportunity to learn music. And I look back now at the adults who were there when I didn't know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And said, how did they make these decisions to make sure I had this opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say, what now? We're the adults now. We have to make these decisions and be the advocates.
Yeah, I didn't realize, growing up that how lucky.
And now you're making this part of.
Absolutely. Yeah. We take every opportunity we can.
I mean, I remember, you know, the county choruses and district chorus, regional and all of that stuff. Like, I can just remember, like, my sister wasn't the best. She didn't want to be like the star of anything. You know, she didn't want to try out for solos, but she really enjoyed choir. And like, it just made, I remember, I was like, you really need to audition for county chorus. I think this would be really fun for us, you know? And I mean, I still can't read music till this day, but I did have a lot of people that, you know, found ways to, you know, help me learn. I just, it's like math to me. It's weird. It's weird. I don't do that. But that did, I still had a teacher that said, you know, that doesn't matter. Like, you still have an ability and we'll work around it.
We're
you know,
work through that.
And music education is one of the places where there's enough weirdos to be like, you just can't learn that way.
Or,
and they're cool with it.
Or creative. They're creative enough.
Absolutely.
To go to this. All right. So we have this little angle here. We're going to go around it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Inventive.
So you've been
everybody can get involved.
So articulate and so generous in your descriptions of your, you know, your early training, and generous and thankful towards your teachers and the opportunities you've had. And I really thank you for that. But let's talk about what you guys are doing now. I mean, this is ultimate coolness. Tell me what's happening with the group. We're going back. We'll talk about the formation and getting to know each other. But what's happening with town? What's going on with this duo?
Well, right now we're just kind of, we've been writing a lot. We signed publishing deals, which for anyone that might not know, that means that we've fooled someone into giving us money to write songs and doing that. And we'll actually be in the studio next Monday. And
We're recording some new tracks. We came out with an EP last year called Games We Play, and it's really gotten us to the next step.
It's kind of the first domino that fell, and it was ding, ding.
Yeah. So we were able to put that together and put it out to the world, and got some really great feedback, and a lot of doors have opened for us through that. And yeah, we're just taking each step and soaking it all in. But I think after we came out with our EP last year, that's when things really started to take a different formation for us on a bigger level. It's been incredible. We're writing with a whole bunch of people, like John said, and just kind of creatively exploring avenues to take us even, you know, further to where we want to
so
be.
Did it come together as a vocal songwriting duo or a vocal duo doing covers, or?
You know, it was kind of, so, well, to go back to where it did start, so we had both applied to this songwriting seminar in Wyoming held by this guy, Skip Ewing, who is a Hall of Fame songwriter, is an incredible guy. Mm-hmm.
This was back in 2010.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, anyways, we submitted songs and we were accepted to go out to this thing in Du Bois, Wyoming. We were on the back of horses, and long story short is that we found out that we lived behind the same liquor store on 8th Avenue.
You lived in Nashville.
Yeah.
We never knew each other.
We were neighbors.
We
lived right next door to me.
A street apart, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, anyways, it kind of, and I was much more of the writer, maybe, side of my brain, but that's kind of why I'd been there. And she was a great writer, but she also happened to be an incredible singer. And I guess another long story short was when you're getting going in Nashville, you play a lot of songwriters' nights, you know, and they're pretty miserable.
What are they called? Circles? Or?
Well, the rounds.
The rounds.
So they have those. But, you know, when you're just getting going, that's pretty much all there is to do to get your name out there and all that. So.
And there's a lot of them.
They're everywhere every night.
I mean,
so,
you never know there could be so many songwriters in one place.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're everywhere.
And so I was doing a lot of those around that time. And Steve and I had kind of started singing together a little bit. And this was a little bit after we'd met. But I was like, well, do you want to go be miserable together? And she was like, okay.
Turned out it wasn't miserable at all.
No, we had so much fun.
We were playing. Quite a bit. And I think the more we played together, you know, obviously we were neighbors, so we were spending like every day together. We were pretty inseparable since Wyoming, really. And yeah, the more we sang and the more we wrote music together, it was just kind of like this camaraderie that formed that I think came across when we were at these rounds. You know, it was like finishing, we were, you know, our banter back and forth can get pretty interesting, but, you know, finishing each other's sentences because we were just spending so much time together. And, you know, our voices are very different, but after a while, people were like, do you have a CD? Like, do you have something we can listen to?
So it was appealing.
Yeah.
You had the chemistry of the creative product, the musical thing.
Yeah.
It was just starting to create, it had an identity. People kind of go, I want to take that home.
Yeah.
With me.
We had no.
I want more. I want it to be part of my life now.
Yeah. And we had no, like,
and we said, well,
no,
we're not a band.
Yeah, we're not a band. We never thought, like, we didn't have a name. You know, people were like, what's your names? Like as a, and I'm like, I'm Stevie. And he's like, I'm John. But we never had a, you know, I can still remember the time we went home and, we were in my apartment and we brought up Facebook and we're like, you think we should do this? Like put a band name out? And then we were trying to think of like what to call ourselves.
Because anymore, like that's how you make a band official, or maybe a relationship too, is when you put it on Facebook.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
It was
it's
a
like,
big
oh,
deal.
Well, now it's a thing.
It was
you
a
know,
thing.
But before then.
But we were really excited about it. And as soon as we had enough songs, we went straight to the studio and recorded a few, and ever since then we've just been nonstop doing that and going for it.
Wow. So next week you're going back into the studio?
Yep.
Yeah, we wrote a couple songs that we think are really special. So we don't want that opportunity to pass by. And we have a really great creative team for these couple songs. People that really believe in us, Bonnie Baker and Ryan Peterson, they'll be co-producing, and we can't wait to do it. Hmm. It's going to be pretty cool.
Will it be a CD or another?
It's just, we're going to go in and with them and just record two songs.
And just see what,
with them.
Yeah, see what happens.
Just because we like them so much and we wrote the songs with them. And so we're just kind of thinking, you know, it might not be a bad idea to collaborate together.
What about live? Are you performing live in Nashville? And do you go out and do runouts? And
yeah, we'll be in Memphis tomorrow night for anyone watching on Facebook Live. We'll be
at the High Tone Cafe. Mm-hmm.
And we're also doing a thing for AT&T, because a short story about that. We were supposed to play there at the end of May down in Memphis, but this big line of storms came through and knocked out all the power in Memphis. And so, but AT&T came and like, were letting people charge their phones and doing all this stuff that they didn't have to do. And so when we rescheduled the show, we were like, is there anything we can do to show our appreciation to AT&T? Because we think that that's really cool. And so we're doing an in-store performance tomorrow at like 1:30.
So
we're playing twice.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, we'll be up in Cincinnati in a couple weeks too.
So you're doing that too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, we try to get on the road as much as possible. We just got our van a few months ago, and so we take a band out with us. And
named her Betty White.
Yeah, our van name is Betty White.
Because she's never gonna die.
Yep.
You know, we've had the, well, that's wonderful. We had the great Betty White. We have had really a great time through NAMM and the NAMM Foundation of getting to know some other younger groups like that are doing what you know, and they have a van too.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And they also, and when they're on the road, they're staying in Airbnbs because they kind of want to be in someone's spare room and they want someone to kind of adopt them. And say, you want to do some wash?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just kind of, you're letting it happen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're letting some goodness come back too, that some people help you and, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Build a network. And
yeah, I mean, music, that's what music does. Is, you know, we try to bring people together as much as possible, you know, through it, because then there's really no point. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way we see it. I mean, of course, I'm sure music can be a very, you know, personal thing, but when you want to put it out into the world, when you're the creator of a certain kind of music and you have something going on, you just hope that it connects with people and that it's doing a good thing. You know, because then there's no, what are you doing it for?
You know? Well, I hope as, you know, someone who's much older than you, both of you, probably combined about as old as you.
Oh, my goodness.
But I would say don't be discouraged, because that wonderful energy is really what we're all seeking, too. We want it from you. And I think that's also really inspiring to all the young people that are in our network through our college program, our Generation Next program. At NAMM, we really want to encourage and empower all of you to bring it on.
Yeah.
And, you know, bring this next version of all this good creativity forward, because that's why we have faith in the future, really. It's because what you're all doing. So And we want you to stay in touch with all of us.
Absolutely.
So, absolutely.
You know, and be part of our network too. So we have a guitar that entered the room.
We do.
I have to acknowledge via our wonderful associate, Bethany Gilbert, who did a...
Bethany!
Yes. Who did a massive romp through the Summer NAMM show above us. And yes, we could find a left-handed guitar. And this looks like a beautiful one.
It's absolutely beautiful.
What do we have here?
Cole Clark.
Out of Melbourne, Australia.
But it looks like a beautiful instrument.
It is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And we're just doing a very spontaneous tabletop concert here that a town has offered to treat us with. Can you give us a little update?
That sounds pretty good.
That sounds amazing.
Any little
what you want to sing?
What you're going to sing for us?
What do you think? I should probably step back.
This is a spontaneous moment. They've had the whole podcast to think about.
I know.
And now they still don't know?
Let's see.
Right. What are you going to sing?
Nobody has a guitar pick, do they?
I do.
Bethany has
a guitar pick. Bethany, we want to thank Bethany.
Thanks,
miracle.
Bethany.
Yes.
There's literally nothing else that she could have done. You want to do this song?
And what is this song?
Yeah.
You want to do that?
I don't know.
I'm just winging it here.
We take requests, anybody?
So this song is called Hang Ups. Do you want to tell them about it?
It is about, sometimes I get really serious in my songs. This is probably not one of those songs. It's a little more lighthearted. But it's a song about, you know, a guy that might be, he's a really nice guy, but he's just a little too nice. And I can't really wrap my mind around that. And maybe he just needs to, like,
why are you, you know, looking at me? Because I think we know what
this, I don't know.
Because you think I know about this, and you know what? I think you're right.
It might be relatable. You know what I mean?
That's what I was saying. I think that's why you're looking at me. Because I think, you know, I think we know what we're talking about here. Okay.
I'm not alone. I have a feeling.
Right.
So, yeah, you'll just have to listen to the lyrics. It's called Hang Ups.
Yep. We wrote it together.
We wrote
it with our buddy Evan.
Evan Hutchins, who actually produced our EP. Okay. So he's amazing. Yeah.
So yeah, this is a pretty new song, and we're gonna play it.
Bought me flowers on the first date, on the second date, and on the third date.
Oh!
Calls me up in the morning and in the evening and in between.
Like then, 10 times.
Already talking about diamond rings. Oh my God. What's happening? Only known you for a week. Boy, I know I'm gonna have to let you go. I'm sorry, but I should have told you. I don't wanna meet your mama. You should know I'm not that kind of lady. Been sinning since the day they made me. Don't think you can change me. Too many hang-ups, too many to bring up, ain't messing up my makeup, enough, got too many hang-ups. I'm a little more last call, you don't even like alcohol, you fell in love with my southern charm, but what about the tattoos on my arm, I got a couple exes you haven't met. Try to meet them every chance I get. I got a couple exes you haven't met. I get what I want when I want, where I want to get it. Already talking about diamond rings. Oh my God, what's happening? Only known you for a week. Boy, I know I'm gonna have to let you go. Enough, got too many hang-ups. It's crazy.
Already talking about diamond rings. Oh my God, what's happening? Only known you for a week. Boy, I know I'm gonna have to let you go. I'm sorry, but I should have told you. I don't wanna meet your mama. You should know I'm not that kind of lady. Been sinning since the day they made me. Don't think you can change me. I got too many hang-ups, hang-ups. Too many to bring up. Ain't messing up my makeup enough. Got too many hang-ups. Well, I got too many hang-ups. Too many to bring up. Ain't messing up my makeup enough. Got too many hang-ups.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that one's fun to sing.
So much.
Thank you for having
us. Boy, that was just great. Well, this has been, what a way for us to spend our time here at Summer NAMM with Talking at Music Education and EnterTalk Radio, to have Town with us. And
thank
to take
you.
Us out with such a great, great song. Great luck in the studio next week, in
so
Memphis
much.
This weekend, and all the things that you're doing.
You.
I think we're going to be seeing a lot of you somewhere.
I sure hope so.
Somewhere. Be sure you come through NAMM in January, and who knows where we'll connect. But believe me, we're going to be following you guys.
Thank you so
you go,
much.
And wish you all the very, very best.
Thank you so much.
So
thank you all for joining us here at Talking at Music Education live from Summer NAMM in Nashville, Tennessee, and we hope you join us often so together we can keep music education strong. I'm all choked up by this great energy and talent. Thank you so much, Stevie and John, for being here.
Thank you very much.
And thank you all for joining us.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.